That was lovely flute at the end, Dawn. Thank you. Lovely, lovely carols that we've been able to sing this Christmas. I pray that God has spoken to us all on this little journey that we've been on this Christmas, reflecting on the stages of Christmas that I think so many people in the world can relate to. Yet for us, it's been a blessing, hasn't it, to think about each one with our Bibles open and to connect them in just some capacity to that first Christmas time. And we finish really today the only way that we should finish on Christmas Day by thinking about what it is to rejoice in Christmas. Something that I hope we've done every time we've met together, whether you've been in here in person or whether or not you've joined us online. My thanks, and indeed I'm sure I speak for all of us, our thanks to our worship team for leading us in worship, for those who have read the scriptures to us, and for our team at the back who have helped the audio with the worship, the words on the screen, have allowed people online to listen to those Bible readings, to listen to these Bible talks. And we're going to close by advancing actually 8 days from Jesus' birth and looking at these wonderful words and the example of Simeon and Anna, who show us, I think, so much of what it is to rejoice in Christmas. And we've got time, I hope. Nigel did warn you, 2 hours today. So I'm going to pick up on three things, and they all begin with T. Any guesses? Rejoicing in Christmas is to what? And it begins with T. And Ollie, you're not allowed to say from the back. Rejoicing in Christmas, three things beginning with T. One of them should be particularly, come on, Mum, a little bit louder, be brave. Thankfulness. Excellent. Any other T's? I'm making you work. Oh, you see, I've got to work on Christmas Day. You can do some work as well on Christmas Day. Here are three T's we're going to think about. Rejoicing in Christmas is to trust God. It is to be thankful. And it is to tell others about God. Well, let's think a little bit firstly about trusting God. Now, I will freely admit, you can rejoice in Christmas as an unbeliever. You can do that without trusting in God. Sadly, I think the majority of people in Ashford today, and indeed Britain, will rejoice in Christmas without trusting in God this day. The only thing I will say with that rejoicing is that it'll be over pretty quick. Now, bear with me just for a few minutes. I don't mean to be a bar humbug Scrooge at all, but, you know, some presents are already opened. It won't be long before other presents are unwrapped later on today. Christmas dinner will be eaten. And whether you have a busy Christmas day planned with family and friends or you've got a quiet one planned at home, it will soon be over. You know that to be true. January 2024 is just around the corner, along with school and work for so many of us. Christmas trees and lights will be packed away, and your rejoicing in Christmas will be over for another year, if God allows you to have another year, or indeed this world to have another year. But to trust in God is to truly rejoice in Christmas, not just today, but every day. It is to rejoice in the way God prepared for that first Christmas before he even created the world. It is to rejoice in the hope of Christmas, in God's favor, in God's Son, in God's Word. It is to rejoice with Mary as she anticipated that first Christmas, knowing that we are those who are anticipating Jesus' glorious second coming. To rejoice in Christmas is to trust God that Jesus died for my sins. And it's okay to be indebted to God. He just wants us to unwrap and receive his gift of Jesus and the eternal life in his name. That is what is to rejoice in Christmas. And you see, the more our faith grows, and the more we see God's hand at work in his salvation plan across Scripture, in the history of the church, and then in our own lives, well, we learn to trust God more. And trusting in God enables us to rejoice more in him and indeed in Christmas, not just today, but across all of next year and beyond. And in Simeon and Anna, we have two saints who model to us so well what it is to trust in God. We're just going to look quickly at both of them. Let's start with Simeon. We read, Simeon was waiting for God to send his king, the Messiah. And that is significant, because at the time when Simeon was alive, God hadn't directly spoken to his people for over 400 years. That's a huge gap in the Old Testament history. He hadn't spoken since Malachi. I'm sure there were lots of Jews that had given up hope. And yet here is Simeon. We read in verse 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a long word, isn't it? Consolation. What does he mean? I think the best way of translating that, what was he waiting for? He's waiting for the comforter of Israel, the one that would come to comfort his people. God's anointed one, the promised Messiah, and he trusted God's promises. What does a life look like that trusts God's promise? Well, we're also told that, I think, in verse 25. He was righteous and devout. Well, that could easily be translated that he was a just man and he was a God-fearing man. Well, that takes us back to yesterday, doesn't it, with Mary. God's people are those who are humble, that are aware of God's mighty power and also have a fear of God. Well, Simeon was a just man. He had this a fear. He was a God-fearing man. And we read that God's Holy Spirit was on him and had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah. Now, we don't know, we're not told anywhere in Scripture how old Simeon was. But I think the fact that he says in verse 29 after seeing Jesus, God, you can just let me die now. It certainly gives the impression that he probably was quite old. And how Simeon expresses himself in verse 29, it almost gives the impression, doesn't it, that he was clinging on to life, holding on, battling illnesses, ailments. I'm not ready to die yet, Lord. I'm holding on. Why? Because God had given him this promise that he would see the Messiah. He trusted God. He trusted God's promises. He knew God to be trustworthy. And so he waited, and he waited, possibly for many years. Therefore, when Jesus arrived, well, he just immediately rejoices and worships God for two things, doesn't he? Firstly, for fulfilling a promise to him, and secondly, for God's promise of salvation to others. Well, that is the same, we again can say the same as Christians today, don't we? We first rejoice in Christmas today for a promise that God has fulfilled to us, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus, we will not perish, but we can have eternal life. And then we rejoice because God's love was to the world, not just to us. And then there's Anna, isn't there? And it's interesting. You should just see how human they are. It's almost as if Luke, I think it feels like he's a bit unkind to Anna. You notice in verse 36, he's more descriptive. She was very old. I think in the New King James, she was a great age, you know. Whoa. And then in verse 37, he even gives away her age. She was 84 years old. I'm sure she appreciates that. Up in heaven, everyone knows Anna's age. But what amazing faith she had. At the middle of verse 37, we read, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She never left the temple. Wow, some of you are already waiting for me to stop. This lady never stopped worshiping God. And what stands out to you? There's not much written about Anna, is there? But what stands out to you about Anna's faith? Because I'll tell you what stands out to me, and I'm sure for lots of you, is here was a lady who worshipped God, even though it sounds like her life had been pretty tough. Pretty tough. At one point, I'm sure Anna had plans with her husband to enjoy years of companionship, to have a home, maybe a family, to enjoy serving God together. But after just 7 years of marriage, and I know there can be marriages that are tragically finished shorter, but 7 years, I'm sure we'd all agree, that's a short marriage. We don't know how, but he died, her husband. You see, faith in the God of the Bible, it doesn't assure us an easy life. But he promises to always be with us. And he also has purposes through those trials, through the hard times of life. And you see, when the storms of life come, the Christian can do one of two things. We can either drift from God or we can cling to the rock of our salvation. The wonderful thing is for the Christian is that we never fall out of those arms. We're always in there. But we just got to learn not to push against, try and push against God. He will gently pull us back. We'd be so much better off so often being like Anna, because she just gives the impression that she clung to the rock of her salvation. She clung to God. Some of her hopes for this life have been completely dashed. And yet her hope in God was very much alive, wasn't it? God kept her going through likely times of loneliness, sadness, anger, questioning, grieving, mourning. She trusted God. One of the many blessings from God we've had this past year at Grace has been the birth of three lovely little babies. Names of the three babies in Grace? Lydia, Caleb, Elijah. Thank you, Ruth. Ruth's willing to work with me, even the rest of you are just trying to enjoy Christmas Day. Thank you, Ruth. I'll keep looking this way if I've got any other questions. Well, generally, it's interesting, isn't it? As a church family, we're very quick to thank God for babies. And rightly so. Babies are a blessing from the Lord, and they are the future of His church. It is right that we thank God for little Elijah, Lydia, and Caleb. And we pray they're enjoying their first Christmas Day. But I wonder how quick are we to pause every now and again and thank God for those who are worshiping here at Grace that may be in their 70s, in their 80s. We're so quick, aren't we, after the service? I see some of you, we see Lydia smiling. Or little Toby, when he was running around, he's like a whirlwind at the moment, isn't he? But he's so cute. I wonder how quick we are to go across and talk to an older member of the church after the service. You see, there's every chance that we'll enjoy, in God's goodness, those babies turn into children and then awkward teenagers and then adults for many, many years. We don't know how long some of the older members of the church will be with us before God calls them home. And then next Christmas, they might be rejoicing way more than we will be with the Savior in heaven. But we'll miss them. And you see, as much as babies are a blessing from the Lord, and we see, I've got such a good view now of Jess feeding Elijah, and we see so much, don't we, of how we should be wholly dependent on God as His children. There's lots that we can learn from babies, but I cannot have a chat with Elijah and say, Elijah, how's your walk been with the Lord this week? Elijah, at least you could stop eating. But I can. But I can go and talk to, you know, one of my thrills as a pastor this year has been able to visit Mary with Sylvia. And here are two saints which have trusted the Lord Jesus through some really hard times. They're widows. And yet there is this rich faith. They think, I go there to try and talk to them a little bit about from the Bible, from study I prepared, and I learn way more from Mary and Sylvia than what I go there and I share with them. I try and say that to them each time. I don't think they believe me. Here's it publicly. Here is it publicly. Something like that. We can learn, can't we, from those in our fellowship that have walked, that have learned what it is to lie down in green pastures. You notice that? The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. Some of us don't want to lie down. Those that have walked with the Lord and have trusted the Lord for many years know what it is to lie down. They've walked through the darkest valleys. Some of us haven't experienced that yet. Spend time with those that have gone through hard experiences and yet their faith has grown. Learn tips from them. Learn the scriptures that comforted them. We are blessed here at Grace with some godly older men and women who have loved the Lord Jesus for many years and are still trusting Him, and they are longing for His return in the same way that Simeon and Anna were longing for Jesus' first arrival. We can learn from them as we can learn from Simeon and Anna about what it is to trust God and to rejoice in His promises, even in the hard times. Secondly, rejoicing in Christmas is to thank God. You know, Simeon is so grateful, isn't he? I'm not going to spend too long on Simeon. But he's so grateful for God fulfilling His promises. He just, I'm ready to die. You can take me now. Nothing gets better than seeing your son, my Savior. Take me now, Lord. This world's got nothing for me. He's incredibly thankful. He goes on to praise God. And then this is what we read of Anna in verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. I like Luke's narrative. There's no pleasantries, is there? How are you doing, Mary and Joseph? How are you recovering from the birth? It's only 8 days on. I think that's what I did when I first visited Ben and Sandy. How are you, Sandy? No. Anna's sole focus is Jesus. And it made me think, well, what is our focus every time we come to church? Brothers and sisters, is it Jesus? Is it? What's our focus now? What's going to be our chief focus today? Is it the Lord Jesus? Is it being thankful for God's love towards us in sending Jesus to save us, to give us a hope? Because that was Anna's focus. Jesus is the promised hope to Israel and indeed to the world. And she immediately thanks God. Maybe with words not too dissimilar to God, too dissimilar to Paul. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So everyone, instruction for everyone, children included, don't miss opportunities to thank God every day. Get into the habit of thanking God. If you go for a walk this Christmas time with your family, don't worry about just pausing. If you see something amazing that looks so awesome, pause and say, Mum and Dad, I just want to thank God for this. Sometimes you children see things that we just miss. You highlight little bits of God's wonderful design and his creation, and it's good to thank God. Thank God if you've had a great time with the family. Pause. Say, can we just thank God? It's been a real blessed day today. I want to thank him for my family. Remember, even when you open a present, that actually every good and perfect gift is from above. It's God who gives us jobs to be able to afford to buy each other's gifts. He gives this country an economy. It's all in the Lord's hands. Above all, like Simeon and Anna, thank God for Jesus and for his gift of eternal life in Jesus. The Bible, I think, is extremely clear. You cannot thank God if you don't trust him. You can come in here on Christmas Day and thank God, but it doesn't count for anything. Why do we as Christians thank God? Well, it's an act of appreciation for what he's given us. We thank him for who he is. To thank God is an act of worship. Anna and Simeon here are worshiping God. And in thanking God and in showing our appreciation for him, surely our aim is also to please God, isn't it? That's why we live, isn't it? As Christians, we want to please God. And one of those ways, we want to be thankful. Well, you cannot worship God, the Bible says. You cannot thank God. You cannot please God if you don't trust him. You see, all these T's are going to be linked today. You've got to trust God. Faith is the starting point. I wanted to go to Hebrews 11 a couple of weeks ago, and I think we'd have struggled for time. You won't like me for doing this necessarily today, but I've got to go to Hebrews chapter 11 at some point this Christmas. It's a great chapter in the Bible, isn't it? Loads of testimonies of men and women of faith across the Old Testament. Well, I just want to read from verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is what we read. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, even when we don't deserve it. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? That the baby born in Bethlehem was God's son, that he died on the cross for your sins, to bring about reconciliation in your relationship with God the Father through Jesus' death. If your answer is yes, well then thank God for the faith that he has given you that enables you to trust God. It enables you to please God. That's where it begins. If you want to thank God this day, you've got to trust God first. Faith in God is the starting point if you want to be able to truly rejoice in Christmas. Lastly, Rejoicing in Christmas is to tell others about God, about Jesus. Let me read verse 28. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Do you think Simeon praised God like that? I don't. That was really hard for me to do, actually, to say those words. That's the best bit of performance you could get from me. Or do you think it was like this? "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Surely it was more like that. I think other people heard Simeon praising. I'm sure that's why Anna came across. She heard this man, this godly man, declaring God's praises, saying, "Here he is." And of Anna we read, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, to anyone who was interested. Anna spoke to them about Jesus. What is it the shepherds did after seeing Jesus? Back to verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. In God's goodness, I think it is highly likely that the majority of us here, through God's word, know more about Jesus than what the shepherds were told about Jesus. That is an amazing thought, isn't it? We get carried away. They saw angels, etc. I'm sure through God's word, we have been told much more, most of us. The children here, you likely know more about Jesus than what the shepherds knew. So a question for us all. Have you spoken about Jesus to someone else this Christmas time? Will you today, tomorrow, this week, whether with family, friends, neighbors, will you talk about this child born in Bethlehem who was named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins? The angel declared to the shepherds, "This is good news. A savior has been born." And Jesus, our Savior, before he returned to heaven, he told us, share this good news with others. Go, share it. One of the things that I've observed in my life is that generally what we think is good news and what we rejoice in, we share with others. I'm pretty sure that's why my friend Danny talks to me a lot about Arsenal. He actually thinks Arsenal are good. Sorry. Thankfully, Danny also talks to me a lot more about the Lord Jesus. But that is true, isn't it? It's true of us. It's true of me. We talk about what we think is good and the things that we rejoice in. Well, if we know this good news about Jesus, and if we don't share it, then we aren't truly rejoicing in Christmas. We're not rejoicing in Jesus. Jesus is a light for revelation to all people. Not some, to all. Not just for us, but for others. You see, Simeon could have held Jesus and then he could have gone off to a quiet corner, couldn't he, and prayed. Anna could have come across and thanked God and then just stayed quiet. But no, she starts telling others about Jesus. The shepherds shared all what they had been told about Jesus. Well, isn't it about time that all of us were a little bit better at telling others about God, about his love, about his grace, about his mercy, about his power, about his salvation? You see, it is all in that very first Christmas. Do you see it in Jesus? Because Anna and Simeon did. Amen. Amen.